So, welcome to the News Hour here on Star. And with us in the studio today, we've got three guys from the Coalition for Conflict Free St Andrews who are going to be chatting to us today a little bit about who they are, what they do, and what they're all about. And probably most people have already seen the video that they've been that they've made and put onto the internet about their campaign and that sort of thing. So, do you guys want to start off by introducing yourselves?
Hello, I'm Charlie.
I'm Ben.
I'm Brooke.
Cool. Nice to meet you all. So for those of you who don't know, what is Coalition for Conflict Free St Andrews all about?
The Coalition for Conflict Free St Andrews is a group of 15 societies now that have come together from all sorts of different backgrounds to come and educate the St. Andrews community about the illicit extraction and trade of conflict minerals. Conflict minerals are certain minerals, tin, tungsten, tantalum, and gold, the three T's in gold, that are found in all of our electronics that are being exploited by rebel groups in the Eastern Congo. And indirectly funding them to basically fund their war that they're continuing and perpetuating in the Eastern Congo, and that's been going on for a couple decades now. We're basically educating on this and asking the university to practice more due diligence and responsibility when dealing with their suppliers, their electronic suppliers. Because electronic suppliers have been refusing to tell us whether our electronics have these certain minerals in them. Anything else? Did I miss anything?
No, I mean, I think that's a good sort of broad overview. We're just widely just trying to sort of put a little bit of pressure on the university to put something of a message out there to the companies. As Bennett said, there is this issue, and it's been something that's it has been helping to contribute to what's probably been one of the most disastrous crises in the world over the last couple of decades. And it's something that, if there is a sufficient demand shown by consumers, then it will give a large incentive to companies to practice more due diligence, to increase their transparency and sort out their supply chain so that we can know whether our products are indirectly funding and perpetuating this conflict. And so we thought we didn't think it. We stole the ideas of some Americans, but we thought it would be better to work as a group through the university, because that's a really strong sort of consumer power thing, whereas as individuals it's quite limited what we can do.
So you talk about consumers and electronics. So what products exactly are you talking about that these conflict minerals are in?
Well, tungsten, tin, tantalum, and gold are four minerals that are basically a necessity in most electronics. So tin, for example, is used for soldering for circuit boards, and so you need circuit boards for a lot of electronics. You need tungsten. Tungsten is the mineral that helps store energy, so your phones, anything portable that doesn't need a plug needs tungsten. So phones, laptops, what else?
Tablets.
Oh, tablets.
Game Boys.
Kindles. Oh, yeah. Going back 90s.
So basically all the electronics that every student's going to own, everyone has a laptop.
Yeah, even light bulbs. Yeah, it has wolframite in it. Wolframite, I believe, is a derivative of tantalum. I'm terrible with chemistry. I am quite sure that light bulbs do have conflict minerals in them. And gold is found in a lot of electronics. It's the most valuable resource in all of our electronics because it coats the wires that are used. And tantalum is actually the mineral that helps phones and, our game consoles vibrate. So you need tantalum for that.
Okay, so two questions based off of your YouTube campaign. You identify, I think, is it Apple, Dell, HD?
Apple, Dell, and HP.
Are these the only companies who use these minerals, or is it everywhere?
No, not at all. It's very insidious. It's literally industry-wide, and it's almost, yeah, it's I mean, it's impossible to tell, but I don't know. There's no company that's gone anywhere near saying that they're conflict-free. We chose those companies because they're the major electronic supplier for the university, so...
All right, okay.
We thought it'd be best to focus it on the companies that we know the university buys from, so that are bought for in our name, because I suppose as they're being bought for us, we have, I suppose, some sort of call to voice our opinions on the process.
But could it not lead to the university then just going with other brands, potentially, and then... not solving, you know.
Well, when it's not like a coalition against HP, Apple, and Dell. It's, you know, we're not saying switch brands. Mm. In fact, HP is, you know, one of the best, if not the best, mainstream company for sustainability. And in fact, this very issue, they're one of the companies that are pushing quite hard to improve their. Due diligence and supply chain. So it's certainly not about blacklisting any companies or sort of boycotting anyone. It's just about showing that there's a demand there, showing that that basically as customers we would like them to push their money, push their R&D in this direction. And they are actually doing it. The EICC, the Electronic Industry Citizenship Coalition, is working on a conflict-free smelter, which is basically the technology to be able to define and work out whether our products are conflict-free, and we're essentially asking for the university to support those companies in that push.
Okay.
Yeah. Just going off of what Charlie said, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about our campaign is that we're asking people to stop using electronics. In fact, when we met with the principal, she was staring at us like we were ghosts because she asked us at one point, and she's like, "You're not asking me to stop using my computer, are you?" I'm like, "God, no." Well, that's a problem. We're not asking students or anyone to stop using their electronics. That's impractical. Nor are we asking to put a boycott on any company. We're just asking for people to put a simple demand out there so that we can have the option of choosing conflict-free, so companies can see that actually we are ethical consumers. It just wouldn't make sense, really, to boycott certain companies when none of them really have gone conflict-free.
So we were talking about your video just before that you've put out, and that's giving the message across in lots of different languages. So what was the inspiration behind that?
It was... pretty much the entire process was pretty funny of how that entire thing was thought up. Basically, Katie Bryant and I came together and, you know, we wanted to create a video. And we're just like, you know, that it's probably the best way to get ourselves out there for the St. Andrews community. And I think, like, most of the coalition was with us on that one.
I think there were some kind of dubious ideas for like a funny video.
We were thinking of all sorts of different things for that one. But I think what was important was that we wanted to come off our first video that we're going to make, and there probably will be another one, is that we wanted to come off more as a serious group and not come off like already humorous, because I don't know, I feel like there's enough of that, and you know, you kind of need a serious tone sometimes. And so, Katie and I just came together one day. We brainstormed an idea, wrote like a letter to the three CEOs, grabbed Maya Crawfry, who did a few other videos for other societies and events, and she got excited about it. We told her about it, and this was within like the span of a day. And we're like, okay, we want to film this. And she's like, okay, it's going to take a while to edit, so we have to do this soon. We're like, let's do it tomorrow. And we had, bearing in mind that we had like no people to actually be in the video yet except Katie and I. So we spent the entire evening trying to get people to confirm whether they can come, trying to like get like people like that can speak different languages to come, our friends that, you know, liked the campaign. We had all sorts of different languages. I know a couple different languages that didn't actually make the cut, because in the video, if you notice, people are like towards the end of their, you know, their line, they tend to look down. It's because they're looking at their next line to memorize. that's you know, in their foreign language, because literally, as we had people, you know, saying their line in front of the camera, everyone, there was probably about 10 of them just translating in the back, like, frantically, because, yeah, it was a crazy set that we had. And yeah, and it was all done in venue, too. I mean, the entire thing just came together really well, but that's because, like, Maya is an incredible editor. And, yeah, it was insane.
So what has the response been to this campaign so far?
Yeah, the response been really surprisingly very positive. Not surprisingly, not that we ever doubted the ethical commitment of the students of St Andrews, but it's just we have had a overwhelmingly really, really positive response. Do you mean just the video or just in general?
In general.
People have been very keen to sign the petition. They're very keen to get involved. Lots of people have been very keen to get involved with the coalition. We've done some film screenings and stuff, and we've had really great feedback after that. In fact, some people from Dundee Uni happened to be at one of our film screenings, and they were very enthusiastic about it, and so we're trying to sort of...
Start it there,
yeah. Build bridges.
Yeah. Since the Conflict Free Campus initiative, you know, we're a chapter, and we're actually the only chapter in Britain to be doing this, only chapter of the movement. There's 98 different chapters across the United States and Canada. We're kind of trying to get started here, but once we released that video, all the chapters across the U.S. just started sending us emails like crazy, just being like, oh, this video is so cool, and you know, like, we're like, yeah, we know.
you too.
Yeah, like, welcome to Britain. The NGOs that have been working really strongly behind us, Raise Hope for Congo, The Enough Project, Global Witness, and a few Congolese grassroots NGOs all sent us emails quickly after the video was sent out, and, you know, tweeted our video, like, sent us emails complimenting us about the video. We've gotten really random responses about it, really positive feedback that I really didn't expect. And it's kind of helped us kind of contain this momentum as well, and so that we didn't kind of die off towards the end of the year. We actually had a TEDx speaker ask us about the Conflict Free Campus Initiative, who spoke in Exeter on the 20th. He was from the Congo, and he wanted to know how he can help promote us. And so we told him, you know, talk about us at the end, and so that he did. You can see it on the TEDx video online.
What exactly is the conflict that's in the name? So why exactly should we be feel so affected for this cause? So if you guys want to talk us through it a little bit.
Yeah. Following the Rwandan genocide, everyone thinks kind of, you know, the Rwandan genocide stopped there. You know, the whole ethnic conflict between Tutsis and Hutus, as well as Twa, just stopped in Rwanda, but actually it spilled over into the eastern DR Congo. And eventually, a few years later, in 1997, 1998, the Great African War started, as Madeleine Albright termed it, and that went until 2003. Basically spill over from that conflict is happening to this day, just to give you the quick simplified version. There is an ethnic conflict within the eastern Congo between Tutsis and Hutus, but there's also groups just, you know...
Profiteering.
Yeah, exactly. Just looking for a profit, and it's estimated now that... the duration of this conflict has resulted in the deaths of 6 million people, and the American Journal for Public Health put a statistic out last year that was quite... It was a bit controversial because it went contrary to the UN, but it says that every hour, 48 women in the Congo are raped, which made Congo last year deemed the world capital of rape and the worst place to be a woman. So, yeah. That's pretty much it.
And another that is, was I spoke about it, Justin, where they $144 million a year is essentially the profit that's up for grabs for the illicit extraction and trading of conflict minerals. So that's the sort of level of economic incentive there is for armed groups to essentially take and retake control of these areas.
And so why are these big companies such as Apple and HP and all that, how do they get connected? Why are they connected with these illicit mines?
Well, I mean, they don't usually buy straight off the extractor. It comes through a long chain of middle companies. Not that it's like, some shady network. It's just how it is that it goes through a lot of companies before it reaches the suppliers who would supply them. So it's actually quite hard to track. I mean, it's quite difficult to tell at the moment. There is technology to tell which mines it came from, but it's not very ubiquitous. So essentially, just because so many of these minerals are from this area, like such an overwhelming proportion of them, essentially, statistically, it's just extremely likely that any minerals they get from their suppliers will be in part from this area.
I suppose one problem that most electronics companies cite when the Conflict-Free Campus Initiative sends out a letter like we did, being like, make your products conflict-free. They say that it's nearly impossible to track their minerals because, their minerals get recycled and, go through a very long process, and it's very, pricey to do. But we contend, along with Global Witness, who focuses on ethical investment and ethical ways of extraction and trade, that there is a way. And Intel is actually a perfect company to use. They're planning on putting a conflict-free microprocessor out by next year. And they've already begun a method to make sure that their minerals are conflict-free by putting electronic trackers on them that they can track right from, their CEO, their corporate headquarters in the U.S. And so they can see their minerals being extracted in the Congo and then going to be processed in Malaysia. And, they can see if the tracker gets stolen or traded. So they're really pioneering. They're really seeing if there is a way, because I think we're finding that positive differentiation is probably the best way to go about this entire campaign. What companies are doing a great job, and let's hold them up against the other companies to make sure that other companies have an example to go off of too.
Right.
So yeah.
So it's obviously a very affecting, very very important cause. So what exactly is it that got you guys interested directly in the first place? How did you hear about it first up, and that sort of thing?
I mean, in my case, it was probably the whirlwind of a man that is Bennett Collins and his passion for almost unbelievable passion and capacity to get very involved with this. I came to it through Stand, which was brought to St Andrews by Bennett Collins. It's the anti-genocide charity. I'm not really sure. I don't really have a background in this issue, so it's not like I'm a particular expert. It's just It just seemed like something that should be scandalous, and it should be outrageous, and it should be something that we as a university do at least talk about and do at least care about. So I just thought it was too much of an interesting and important issue to not get involved with.
Yeah. So when I founded Stand, I've been involved with Stand, Student Anti-Genocide Coalition, now for this is my third year. And throughout the 3 years, I've known about this campaign, and I've been meaning to start in St. Andrews. It was kind of like on my to-do list, and finally, and I just grabbed Peter Lang, who's also one of the founders of the coalition, and we're just going to do this already, because it's kind of in the back of our minds. When I was in Uganda actually this past summer, and I got to meet a guy that actually did get to be in the mines, and he did tell me quite horrendous stories that he wasn't really looking for sympathy about or anything. He was just telling them to tell me them. to tell me about his life. And, like, that kind of got me going about this issue a bit more, where this year I was kind of decided that this campaign needs to happen. So, yeah.
And Brooke, you hadn't really heard of it much before, as far as I know. You just saw a little poster in the library.
Yeah, that's right. We talk about these things all the time in IR, and I think it's an important example. What Bennett's doing here is taking action. You know, so we write thousands and thousands of words, you know, but I think actions speak louder than our words. So we can criticize, we can attach political economy to these conflicts, and et cetera, cite, you know, really smart people, you know, at Bradford. But, you know, here at St. Andrews, we're actually taking action and, you know, we're changing things, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's an important thing to let other, you know, student groups in St. Andrews know that they have the tools necessary to act upon, you know, their opinions. And then I think what Bennett's built with the coalition is really important as well. So
it's a number of student groups?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we got 15 now, and we actually had to stop because it was getting a bit too big. We became a very big family.
Creative monster.
Whereby we, yeah, literally, when it comes to finances, it is a monster. We had to stop telling people to want to be part of the coalition. We're just, you know, we'll take endorsements at this point.
So do you know how many members you have?
Yeah, we have 15 members. Individuals.
Yes, individual members.
It's kind of hard to tell, like, who are members of the coalition and who are not.
I mean, it depends. I mean, I think if we were to sort of deign membership on people through their association with the societies that are involved, it would be quite numerous, and also the people who signed the petition. I mean, we got what?
We have officially 2,000 signatures on that petition.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah, yeah. Big proportion, yeah. What would you say to anyone who wants to get involved with this?
We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter.
We're at School 3 tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes.
What exactly is going on at School 3 tomorrow?
Funny you ask.
Back on the Radar, bringing the Congo back into conversation. That's the title of the event tomorrow. 7 o'clock, School 3. Basically, we brought two professors from St. Andrews, Dr. Mattia Fumanti from the School of Anthropology, and Dr. Mario Aguilar from the Director of Religion and Politics, to come be on the panel with two Congolese political analysts from the Scottish Congolese Coalition based in Glasgow. And, you know, big shout out to Elena and Jamie for getting the two professors from St. Andrews. and you know, we had been looking for any diaspora organization for the Congo, and finally we came across the Scottish Congolese Coalition, and we, you know, emailed them, and, you know, they were very excited to work with us. And so these two political analysts, Gregoire Watupa, he's a political analyst. He runs a website for the Congo. And he's also the chief representative for a political forum for Congolese political parties, the Alliance for, it's in French, so it's the Alliance for Patriots for the Refoundation of the Congo, something along those lines. And then we have another one, Jean-Paul Kasasula. He's a formal legal advisor for the Congolese parliament. And now he's here getting his law degree again so he can practice law. And so he'll be speaking tomorrow, and all of them will be giving a perspective about why Congo is important, why we should stop ignoring the Congo, because the Congo is the heart of Africa. I mean, there's a video online that you can see on the Facebook event page. The crisis in the Congo, it was put out by Friends of Africa, and, you know, Congo is heaven, but is in hell, literally. And it's an issue we should stop accepting as being part of the status quo, that, you know, conflict in the Congo go hand in hand. You know, there can be peace in the Congo, I assure you. So...
Great. Well, it sounds like a really good group of speakers. You're at 7 o'clock, school 3 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So I think we'll bring it all to a close now, but it's certainly been very interesting today. But if people want to get involved a bit more, find out more about what you guys are doing, you've got a Facebook group, is that right?
Yeah, just Coalition for a Conflict-Free St. Andrews, or if you type in Conflict-Free St. Andrews, I'm sure something will come up. And Conflict-Free St. Andrews will come up for our video, for our Twitter account, so... Yeah.
And is there like a kind of general, I don't know, information point about this between all the kind of coalitions that are going on, or just...
Yeah, www.raisehopeforcongo.org.
Cool.
That's our best website.
Fantastic. Well, people can follow up as they will. But thank you for coming along and speaking to us today. And
thank you.
I hope it continues to be successful and you get... Yeah, raising awareness and that sort of thing. And the event goes well tomorrow. So thanks very much, guys.
Thank you very much.